From the concert halls to the juke joints, from churches to festivals in the fields, welcome to another episode of Bill Street Caravan, celebrating the sounds of Memphis for more than 20 years.
Heard around the globe on NPR Worldwide.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Pat Mitchell-Worley.
And I'm Jared J.B. Boyd.
This week on Bill Street Caravan, we're flashing back to the 2022 Memphis Music Hall of Fame induction.
Also, Grammy-nominated blues man Guy Davis will be with us to deliver an installment of the Blues Hall of Fame, an exploration of the lives of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame here in Memphis, Tennessee, brought to you by the Blues Foundation.
So that's all coming up right now on Bill Street Caravan.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, JB.
We're flashing back, as you said, to one of the most incredible nights of Memphis music that I can remember, the Memphis Music Hall of Fame 2022 induction ceremony.
That's right. Every year, I enjoy going to the ceremony. You see people who haven't seen each other for decades, and they're all sharing stories, sharing their love and respect that they have for one another. It makes the event pretty special.
My first time ever experiencing the Hall of Fame was as a news reporter, sticking my recorder in everyone's faces trying to get a quote or two, but also making sure that I took time to take pictures with some of the music legends, which a few of them are not with us anymore. So I'm so glad that I got an opportunity to tell them to their faces how much they mean to me, but also to take a quick picture with them.
Well, 2022 was an extraordinary year. The inductees for 2022 included jazz saxophonist Fred Ford, producer Jim Gaines, organist Booker T. Jones, the amazing Ronnie Millsap, drummer J.M. Van Eaton, the incredible Mavis Staples, rockabilly legend Billy Lee Riley, and global music ambassador Priscilla Presley.
I had the opportunity on this occasion to step out of the role of covering this event and into a pretty interesting role, being able to announce all the inductees from behind the curtain as the voice of God, which I have you to thank for recommending me for that role.
Yes, I was very excited for you to have that position. The show consists of legends honoring legends. We're going to hear from Robert Plant, Bernard Allison, Kirk Whalum, and even the house band. They have played with so many different artists. Kirk K.C. Clayton has been on the road with so many artists that he is just as much a staple of the R&B scene as some of the artists that he played with. So this is an incredible band. It's going to be a great night. Let's go in and listen to some music. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'd like to play one more song for you. This one, composed for the motion picture Uptight, entitled Time Is Tight.
Thank you.
That was the 2022 Memphis Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony, live on Beale Street Caravan.
We'll be back with more music from the performances in just a bit.
Up next, Grammy-nominated bluesman Guy Davis takes us through the life histories of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame. This segment is brought to you by the Blues Foundation, and it's also available as a standalone podcast through iTunes.
Come on, baby. The Chevrolet pulled to the curb and stopped. It was a two-door 54, black, white rag, and white wall tire. It looked as long as a city block with sharp fins on the back. Grimes jumped out of his bedroom window at the sight of the Chevy and ran for it. The passenger door opened. Everybody was jammed in there. Mickey, Frog, Tally, and Floyd in back. Big Ella up front. The bass fiddle practically pushed the back seat into the trunk and rested on the dash between Big Ella and the driver. At the wheel was Rufus Thomas. "Welcome to the Bearcats," Rufus announced. He threw the Chevy into gear and swerved into the street. Grimes had to squeeze beside Big Ella in the front seat. "We got a young buck," she told the others. "Y'all speak correctly." From the back seat, Mickey said, "His lean's so clean, you could stir cabbage with it." Rufus laughed so loud that the car shook. He slowed down, put his forehead on the wheel, and slapped the dash with his hand. Grimes forced a chuckle. Rufus drove from North Memphis down to Orange Mound. He pulled the big Chevy into the dirt lot behind the brown Derby. The Bearcats unloaded and lugged their gear through the unlit yard, spotlighted in the high beams of other cars pulling in. They heard the meh from out of the darkness, and by the flickering light of the parking lot, they saw goats sprinkled all over the yard. Inside, guys rolled dice out of a leather horn straight onto the floor, but there was no time to get caught up in a game. Rufus set everyone up and took a moment with each instrument to show the musicians how to play his songs. "Keep yourself in B-flat," Rufus yelled, fingering the keys on Floyd's saxophone and moving on. He picked up the drumsticks and flourished a beat for Grimes. "What do you play, Rufus?" the drummer asked. "I can't play dead on any of them. Just give me a shuffle," Rufus said. That ended the rehearsal. The Bearcats shuffled into the first number. Big Ella took the mic. "Rufus is a makeup artist," Big Ella said, half to the crowd, half to the band. "He'll stand here and make up songs all night."
"Tell me, honey, you made me feel so mean, made me moan and groan."
Big Ella told the audience, "Police arrested me for conjuring hoodoo." Rufus asked, "Yeah, what was the charge?" She said, $500. As the band shuffled, a lady in a sleek black dress caught every eye in the joint as she performed the newest dance. She rocked her hips all the way down to the floor. Rufus followed everyone's eyes and channeled their thoughts. They didn't want her to stop. He owed them everything he could do to help. He sang. After the show, everyone packed back into Rufus's car, fitting in the seats around the bass fiddle. "Gotta go to work," Rufus said. "It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and my shift at the textile mill starts at 6. Grimes asked, "Rufus, why you do all this, man?" Rufus said, "'Cause every time I think I got my ends to meet, somebody come up and move the ends." "It's gonna be the death of you," Big Ella told him. "I'm gonna survive," Rufus said. "And I'm going to do something recognizable so when I pass off this land of the living, I will be remembered." And after struggling to remain awake for 57 and a half cents an hour, Rufus headed toward his next job, hosting the Sepia Swing Club on radio station WDIA. For Rufus, WDIA made strange connections. The station broke barriers in the outside world. Every DJ was black. Every show aimed for a black audience. But the owners were all white, and the DJs weren't allowed behind the glass between the studio and the engineer. The contradiction came to a head, so to speak. The place had only one bathroom. Rufus opened the door and stared into it. Looked pretty much the same as the one in his house. He looked around. Nobody. He thought, I am part of this institution, and I'm not gonna go outside anymore. He walked in and slammed the door. And when he stepped back out, Rufus was standing face to face with a guy who was either IRS or FBI. Horn-rimmed glasses, skinny black tie, starched white shirt. I'm Jim Stewart, the man said. We listen to you all the time down at the studio. Picking up his chin off the floor, Rufus calmly asked, what studio would that be? Satellite Records, Jim said. Brand new. Fact, I brought you this. He handed Rufus a record and his business card. Maybe you could give it a spin? Rufus had the record on the air before Mr. G-Man got back in the car. Rufus watched Stewart flip on the radio. Stewart looked back towards Rufus, nodded his head one time, and smiled.
I'm just a fool in love with you. You said you love me, said you'd be true.
From DIA, it was time to stop home for a quick bite, then take the Bearcats back out into the night. Though Rufus barely had time to think, much less go to the bathroom, a song had been bubbling in his mind. He thought about bantering with Big Ella on the stage like an old married couple. They always came together at the end, kissed and made up. In his living room, Rufus grabbed a cardboard sign that advertised his show at the Brown Derby. He turned it over and jotted down some verses out of his mind. It was a totally different twist on a duet, unlike anything else on the radio, fast-paced and driving. Not sing-songy syrup. Rufus had just a few minutes before he needed to leave again for the next shift. He raced around the house and grabbed up his tape recorder. With no Big Ella around, he needed someone to fill in the female lead and called for his teenage daughter. Rufus put the tape recorder on top of the TV set. He and his daughter, Carla, stood in the living room in front of the TV, belting out the song like they were on stage. Rufus scattered out the instrumental breaks and soft-shoed in his sock feet while Carla sang. It was a 10-minute masterpiece, and he knew just who to show it to. He grabbed the tape and the business card and hit the door. The next afternoon, Jim Stewart called him at WDIA, and in no time, Rufus parked his 54 at the curb outside the Satellite Records studio. It was really an old movie theater. He walked in and looked up at the high, curving ceiling and down across the hard floor that slanted to where the screen used to be. The Bearcats were already there waiting. To their surprise, Rufus walked in with a new female vocalist, his 17-year-old daughter. Grimes smiled at Carla. Are you Big Ella? He asked. Big Ella can tear a house apart, Rufus said, but she don't come across on record. Rufus led the recording session like he directed his gigs. Rufus hummed the melody, clapped the time, and the musicians played it back for him until they got it right. One thing didn't translate from the Bearcats live act, though. The shuffle. Grimes spoke up. I heard this New Orleans beat they called the heebie-jeebie, he demonstrated, like that song, Ooh Poop-a-Doo. I love it, Rufus shouted. After two takes, Jim Stewart stepped out, holding out a record for Rufus. Maybe you can give it a spin, Jim smiled. Rufus kicked off the next sepia swing hour in grand ceremony. I've been telling you about the big record Carla and I recorded, and we do think it's big. Here it is. 'Cause I love you. A struggling little music company had its first big hit. It would soon change its name from Satellite to Stax Records. And Rufus Thomas soon worked his last shift at the textile mill.
Let me tell you, hurting, hurting deep down inside. Thanks for listening to the Blues Hall of Fame podcast, brought to you by the Blues Foundation. The Blues Hall of Fame podcast is produced by Beale Street Caravan for the Blues Foundation, written by Preston Lauterbach and voiced by Guy Davis. For more information on the Blues Foundation, go to blues.org. Street Caravan has brought the sounds of Memphis to public radio airwaves for more than 20 years. And now you can see what we've been talking about. Check out our series of digital shorts through our website or go to ilistentomemphis.com.
I Listen to Memphis is about Memphis music today, the people who make it, and the places and culture that fuel it. ilistentomemphis.com. Beale Street Caravan is supported by awards from Memphis Travel and Tennessee Arts Commission. Welcome back, and if you've just tuned in, we're revisiting the 2022 Memphis Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
That's right. We have got some serious highlights from the night. My personal favorite was John Paul Keith's tribute to Billy Lee Riley. John Paul Keith is such the fan that it's great that he got to talk about this artist that was legendary and influential to him. While he's today going around the world and giving a new brand of what rockabilly and rock and roll sound like.
Well, speaking of mementos, some people might call me actually a bit of a pack rat because I hold on to little bitty keepsakes of Memphis history. A lot of them aren't original to me, but one thing I definitely kept from this night was a copy of the letter that Miss Steny Parker read to Booker T. Jones. And at the top, it says confidential. They handed me one so I could follow along as I was announcing. And I thought, this is such an incredible, sweet, albeit long-winded moment. But I wanted to hold on to it.
And just to set the scene for it that I think made it into the thing that everybody walked away remembering is they came out with like an armchair and she sat down in the chair with the microphone and you felt like you were listening to a fireside chat or something. It was very unique.
Yeah, it read a lot like her liner notes, but also I know you can agree, her emails that you never know what time of day, what hour you might get them, but they are always pertinent, important, and right on time, I will say.
Yes, yes. We all strive to be Steny Parker. Well, everything about the night was on point. The Memphis Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony, can you imagine every year that the group of scholars and music historians who have the job of picking out a well-rounded group of people to be in that class each year, I feel so sorry for them because no matter who they pick, not everyone will be happy. You know, like, wait, why didn't you pick so-and-so? But if you look at the collection that they put together, it is very intentional that there is a place for everyone. And it also speaks to the vast skill set as far as the genres and the business are concerned that come from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, and the encouraging thing about that is that we can rest assured that there will be many, many more names worth calling out, because there's so many from the past that we've yet to get to, and so many names on the horizon, people who we may not even know yet, that are going to shock the world and represent Memphis on such a large scale and a large stage. So I'm so excited to jump back into the music. How about you, Pat?
Yeah, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the stage for a musical tribute to Billy Lee Riley, Mr. John Paul Key. The music of the great Miss Mavis Staples, three of the best of Memphis music, Reba Russell, Lil Rounds, and Southern Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. torn in two. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? Yeah, yeah. And if you don't give a damn about the man with the Bible in his hand, y'all, gentleman that wants everything your way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take the sheet off your face, boy. It's a brand new day.
Respect yourself. Respect yourself. First come here, uh-huh, yeah. He ain't talking about the president, won't stop evolution. Well, put your hand on your mouth when you call, that'll help the solution, yeah. Oh, yeah. You cuss around women and you don't even know.
Here on Bill Street Caravan, I'm here with a musician, consummate professional, music director, Kurt Casey Clayton. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'll pay you later for all that.
You know, we're talking about the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, and I know that you are an instrumental part of the production each year. Can you tell me a bit about the importance of the Memphis Music Hall of Fame is as it means to you?
First and foremost, it's a situation that's long overdue. They felt that there was a need to have some type of ceremony to honor Memphis artists and Memphis musicians, you know, that helped pave the way and basically carve out our niche in the world of music. And so the Hall of Fame ceremony was created to honor a lot of musicians and artists and creative people that paved the way for a lot of what you see popular people doing now.
We're talking about the 2022 induction ceremony of the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. I will go ahead and read off the names.
Yes.
Fred Ford, Jim Gaines, Booker T. Jones, Ronnie Millsap, Priscilla Presley, Billy Lee Riley, Mavis Staples, and J.M. Van Eden. An incredible class with a whole lot of music
people
between
don't realize,
all of
man.
Them.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the stage is already set for the 2023 induction ceremony, yeah. And I'm excited because this is the first year that I was a part of the selection process. And so Carlos Six July Brody, Gus Cannon and his Jug Stompers, Don Nix, Jimmy Jameson, the Spirit of Memphis Quartet, and definitely Mistini Parker, yes. Well-deserved, and Kirk Whalum.
There are so many people that have come from this city, and people just automatically think, oh, this person, because they don't know. One of the tasks that we're being challenged with is trying to make sure that the city is more involved, and they get to come out and see and at the same time celebrate Kirk Whalum and Carlos Brody, you know, and at the same time, they may say, well, hey, what about such and such? Hey, well, We want that input. Let us know,
right,
you know, who y'all feel should be part of that. That means the city is now engaged in it. And so it's one of those situations where there have been a lot of people that have come from here. They have not been inducted yet.
Right.
It takes time because there's only so many we can, as you know, by you being on the committee, there's only so many that you can do per year, because we're just trying to make sure that we give that time to the very first year that it was done. That was one of the issues that happened, was the very first year there were 25 inductees. Mm. 25.
Yeah.
That was a lot of people. And once again, all of them well-deserved. But it was 25 inductees, so they didn't really get a chance to kind of say what they wanted to say in the time frame because there were so many. But now we were like, let's make it more personal. And then when it's your time, give them that moment to where they can finally say, thank you for my city recognizing what I do. Because that's been the biggest thing, is most of them, although we just keep our head down and keep grinding, but they never felt that the city really embraced them. And mm-hmm. this is the one time we want to show that we see you.
Absolutely.
We thank you for your contribution.
Well, has there ever been a tribute or a moment that stressed you, that challenged you, that you didn't expect?
Man, I'm going to be honest. The very first year I was asked to be the musical director was probably most stressful. First of all, because I was honored. And then, you know, I was still out on tour. It was like, first of all, my first year, we were honoring the Memphis Horns. Mm-hmm. That was one of the honors. Yeah. People don't realize how many records these guys played on, right? So that was going to be one bookend. That was going to be the top of the show. How we going? And the other honoree that, which is like one of my mentors and idols, that I loved all his work. And I'm like, ain't no way in the world I can do this. Maurice White.
Wow.
My first year. So I'm having to put together a medley of Memphis Horn stuff and Maurice White stuff. And I'm like... And on top of that, we got to make sure it stays interesting, and we got a time constraint. So I'm like, man, I would be here all night long just playing all my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire songs, you know? As well as the Memphis Horns. People don't realize, man, the Memphis Horns, you know, they did Otis Redding stuff. They played on Neil Diamond stuff. They played on Aretha Franklin stuff. They played on James Brown stuff. I mean, these guys played on a lot of records, a lot of hit records, right? And so, of course, you know, then on top of that, Andrew Love, which was my uncle,
yeah,
right?
And my cousin.
Yep. So, you know, family, you know, my Aunt Pee Wee, shout out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like their situation was like, Andrew, you know, they were part of the Doobie Brothers. So it's like, so you know. I'm like, man, I got to do this right. I cannot screw this up, man. I got family involved with this situation.
There you go.
But that was like probably like the biggest challenge, was getting acclimated to how John Doyle them wanted and how they envisioned it. And at the same time, making sure that we did do it at a high level.
Absolutely.
You know, because we want to make sure that we stayed true to the music. And so that comes back with studying the music, knowing the musicians and the instrumentation that you need for it. So it takes time.
I'm confident that, Casey, your time will come.
Hopefully.
I pray my time will come. I hope
it's
that
all
we all get our chance.
Yeah, T.O., he paid somebody already.
That's right.
He's getting inducted next year or something like
that's
that.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know?
Well, I certainly will be back to return as announcer this year for the 2023 induction ceremony. I enjoyed 2022.
Bro, thank you for stepping in.
Absolutely.
Man, I'm telling you. He said our bacon.
Kurt Casey Clayton, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Here's more from the Memphis Music Hall of Fame 2022 induction ceremony.
Thank you.
Those were the highlights of the Memphis Music Hall of Fame's 10th annual induction ceremony back in 2022. For more information, you can visit memphismusichalloffame.com and see a list of all of the inductees from past years and this most recent year in 2023. Bill Street Caravan is supported by awards from Memphis Travel and Tennessee Arts Commission. We like to remind our listeners to please show your support for public broadcasting. You won't find programming like this anywhere else.